I'll try not to preach as long as my wife did this morning. She's a long-winded preacher, so and in case you want to hear it again, a longer version, it's on the internet under HortonChallenge.com. And so she spoke last 2 weeks ago at a church in Oshawa in an afternoon service, and my son told her to give a long version. So she did. So it's about an hour and a half. So a little more details there on that. So you're welcome to check in on that and listen to her again. All right, let's ask the Lord's blessing this morning. Father, we thank you for your love for us. Lord, we're so grateful that you loved us and came into the world to pay for our sin and to give us a new life in Christ. And Lord, we know that one day soon we'll be with you, and what a promise it is for believers to know that absent for the body is present with the Lord, to forever be with you. And we don't deserve that, but it's all of you, and we thank you for that. Lord, we know that you desire that we in turn give our lives to you. And in fact, you told us that here in your word. And may you speak to our hearts this morning and in a special way. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 14, if you will. One little verse there, and then we'll depart from it. Luke 14 and verse 33 says, "So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple." That's a strange verse and a hard verse, but it's true, and we just as well accept it. Once the Jews came to Jesus and wanted to make him king, they liked it when he fed the 5,000, and they did not have to work for something to eat. It didn't cost them any money to eat that way either, and they had plenty left over. And the Bible says there was 12 baskets, a fragment, left over, enough to start on supper with. That was the kind of king they wanted, a king that would provide all their physical needs without any effort on their part. One who would provide them without changing their lifestyle. That was the kind of king they wanted. A king without repentance. A king who could take all good and bad alike. One who did not divide and did not split. Or one who did not change their lifestyle in any way. A king that would allow them to live in their sin and still be a good member of his kingdom. But Jesus did not come that way and would not have the kingdom that they wanted. Satan had offered Jesus a kingdom without crucifixion, but it would not be that way. There is no kingdom without crucifixion, no reigning without first sacrificing. So Jesus started this doctrine of separation, and he said, "So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple." You know, people haven't changed a bit. Many today accept the Lord if it didn't change anything they've been used to doing. They want to go to heaven, but they don't want their lifestyle to change. I've had people say, "Well, I'll accept the Lord, but I don't have to go to church. I'll accept the Lord, but I'll still want to live in immorality. Yes, I want to go to heaven, but I will keep right on living in the pleasures of sin." I've seen many in Canada who professed to accept the Lord as Savior, but they did not want to change their lifestyle in any way. But the Bible says something about this back over in Matthew chapter 13, and certainly the scriptures teach otherwise, and there will be a change, or there must be a change. in Matthew chapter 13, and verse 20 and 21. The Bible says, "But he that receiveth seed in the stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon he joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not rooted in himself, for he endureth for a while. For when tribulation and persecution arise because of the word, by and by he is offended." Now, there's those I've seen, many except the Lord. They seem to be glad to do that, but when troubles come along the way, then they go on their own way away from God because the root did not take place. They were not rooted in God. It was a profession without possession. And the Bible teaches that if there is possession of Christ, there will be a change. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, "For if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things passed away. Behold, all things become new." There must be a change in our life. The Bible says without repentance, there is no salvation. And repentance is a change of mind concerning sin, self, and God. And we're no longer going that way, but we begin walking in the ways of Christ. And Paul said, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet Christ liveth in me." And so God takes up his abode in our heart and life when we accept him as the Lord and Savior. And so he dwells within, and we cannot keep on the ways of the world and walk in the ways of Christ. He makes a change, and so we're different individuals. And he also, the Bible says also, he must have the preeminent place in our lives. Living for Jesus will involve a crucifixion to self in the old ways. It will involve separation from the world, and it might involve suffering for the cause of Christ. Pastor mentioned this earlier, someone who's has problem with the family because they don't want to walk in the ways of God. And they, over in Matthew, it tells us, Matthew 10:34, he says, "Think I am not come to send peace on earth? I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, a daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and the man's foes shall be those of his own household." So sometimes when a believer accepts the Lord, his family is not excited about it and cause havoc in the home against that one. We have to be willing to crucify yourself and keep living for God no matter what's our family might say or anyone else. Leaving something is often expressed in the Bible. I wonder this morning, have you left something or everything behind to serve Christ? If not, I would like to lay this message on your heart today. You cannot serve Christ without leaving some things behind, without quitting something else. The Church of Thessalonica, he says, they turn from God, or from idols, to serve the living God. They made a change. They no longer walked in the ways of the world. And Paul was commending them for that. So you cannot please Christ without displeasing someone else. You cannot have peace with Christ without war with the devil. We're in a battleground, and so it's always along that way where the devil wants us to serve him, and we are to serve Christ. And so there's this war going on because we still have that old nature, even though we have a new nature in Christ. So there's this conflict. It depends on which we yield to is what's supreme in our lives. And yes, as believers, we can yield to that evil one. And it'll be a costly trip if we do. But God wants us to present our bodies, as it says in Romans, a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto him, which is your reasonable service. It's only reasonable that we do that because Christ did that for us. He left heaven's glory and came into this world to suffer all the abuse because he loved you and he loved me. I'm afraid we wouldn't want to do that. But he did that, that we may become his children and to serve him. And the cross of Christ will separate us from our sinful ways. In Matthew 16:24, the Bible tells us here that 16:24, I'm in Mark, and that won't work. Matthew 16 and verse 24. I borrowed a Bible here, so it doesn't work like mine. Mine was too heavy to carry in the plane. So anyways, Jesus said to his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. So we are to deny ourselves and to walk in Christ's ways. And that instruction is given to us here in the Word. And we're to separate from anything that will hinder our walk with Christ. Now, there are things in our life that they're not a problem. It's not sinful to do, but there may be better things that we ought to do. And in fact, in Romans 12, or Hebrews 12, 2 says, 1 says, wherefore, seeing we also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and run the race with patience that is set before us. I'm told that sometime earlier, runners would tie a weight around their ankles and practice that way running, and then when it comes to a real race, they'd take those weights off and they'd run like the wind. So there are weights in our lives that might not be a problem for our sinful, but need to be cast off in order to be obedient to our wonderful Savior. Peter, James, and John, and Andrew were asked to follow Jesus. They left their nets and their boats and the Father to follow him. Throughout the Bible, we have accounts of people who follow Jesus leaving some things. So the first things we have to do is leave something. We cannot follow Christ and continue on the old ways. That doctrine expressed in James chapter 4, verse 4, that friendship of the world is an enemy with God. You cannot have friendship with God and friendship with everybody else. It just doesn't work. Here is the Bible doctrine of separation. If you want to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, chapter 6 and verse 14 through 18. Says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and will walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And notice there in verse 16, he said, I will dwell in them. God dwelling in us. Now, if you're going to be with believers, then you have to be to leave unbelievers. If you're going to be with righteousness, then we have to leave unrighteousness. If we're going to have communion with the light, then do not have communion with darkness. If you're going to have agreement with the Church of Christ and agreement with public worship of God, then we do not have agreement with those who are against God. How can one take pleasure in a movie house or the beer joint and dance hall and whatnot, and also take pleasure in the things of God? Your body is for Jesus, then it cannot be for the devil. You cannot have cursing and blessing come out of the same mouth. Over in James it says you can't have sweet and bitter water come out of the same fountain. Won't work. It has to be one or the other. And so we cannot have cursing out of this mouth and a testimony for Jesus. It just doesn't work that way. When God comes in it, he cleans us up so that we talk right and live right, because he dwells within us. And that's why he said, "Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord." So I'm talking today about leaving something and sacrificing today. Jesus Christ said, if you want fellowship with me, you cannot have fellowship with everybody else. God wants us to come out and be separate. He doesn't want us to fellowship with unclean things or be a part or concord or agreement with things that are against God. You'll have to leave something to please the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that Jesus went outside the town, or outside the gate, to the places of ashes and mourning. And there he died on Calvary's cross to give life to us. He suffered outside the gate. He left Jerusalem and went to Mount, was crucified at Mount Calvary. He left the city for the cross. So let's us go with him without the gate, leaving city, leaving friends and families or homes and whatnot. Let us suffer with him outside the gate, willing to bear his reproach. He wants us to leave something. You fathers and mothers, you cannot rear your children for Christ unless you give up some things. You cannot indulge in things in the world and expect your children to grow up and to love and honor the Lord Jesus Christ. You must be willing to leave things behind in order to live for God. A Christian cannot please Christ unless he turns his back on some other things. He cannot be a missionary, a soul winner, or preacher and whatnot without paying a price. You'll have to be willing to give up personal pleasures and entertainment in order to bring people to Christ. Sunday school teachers can't wait until Saturday night and read over the lesson and teach Sunday morning. You wouldn't need to begin early in the week. I had a preacher once tell me, we were having lunch together. He said, "Well, I get my summer and Sunday morning while I'm shaving." I thought, "Well, you must get a good one then." So, you know, it's foolishness. We must study the Word of God and be prepared to give something for those whom we speak to. So may God help us to be faithful in that. Be willing to say goodbye, old world. And that's why Jesus said, "Whosoever he be of you, forsaken not all he hath, cannot be my disciple." That's the Bible doctrine of separation that ought to get in our hearts today. Let's look at some scriptures this morning, afternoon. Some examples of some who left something to serve God. If you want to turn to Luke chapter 5 first. Luke chapter 5, by the way, in that DVD, it's a little stale, so the days don't quite match up. I've been a minister 52 years now instead of 40-something. But here in Luke chapter 5 and verse 4, where Jesus was speaking to the disciples, he said, "Now, when he had left speaking, he said to Simon, 'Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught.'" And so they fished all night and hadn't caught anything. I don't know about you, but if I fish a while and I don't catch anything, I get discouraged and quit. So this was their living. They did all night and hadn't caught a thing. And Simon said to him, "Master, we've toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the nets." And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned to their partners, which were in the other ship, and they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man." For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes which they had taken. And so was also James, John, son of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. They never had such a catch in their life. You know, God doesn't often call us when things are bad. It's when things are good that often he does. Then we have to make a choice whether we want to serve God or not. And here, this was their business. They had two boats full of fish. They never caught anything like that before. But he said, "Now come on, you follow me." And they did that. They did. They fished with their whole hearts, making money and buying food and clothes and wearing them out. But what does one get for all that? Jesus came along and said, "Follow me, Peter. I will make you a fisher of men." And so Peter said goodbye to the old nets. Peter, James, and John forsook all their nets, their boats, their father to follow Jesus. They were all partners with their father. So I guess the father was left with the business because the other followed Jesus. You know, Peter made a lot of mistakes, but he could make up his mind. Now, if you're here today and cannot say goodbye to your ships, your nets, you'll never be a preacher or a missionary or soul winner worth anything. If you want to say goodbye to your nets and your ships, why don't you say, "Lord, I'm willing to leave it all, that old way of life, in order to serve you." Now, these men followed the Lord Jesus, and they left their ships, their father, and their nets, and they became powerful men of God, powerful men of God, and began planting churches. Excuse me. And then we have Elisha. If you want to turn to 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 20 and 21. First Kings chapter 19, verse 19 through 21. The Lord says to Elisha, "Now you're old, and I'll have to have another prophet." Excuse me, Elijah. See, he said that too. I get these two mixed up, so you get them straight, whether I say them wrong or not. Anyway, he said, he was told you're going to have another prophet. One of these days you'll be going to heaven in a fiery chariot, and I want you to go and anoint Elisha to take your place. So God led him to a rich young farmer named Elisha, who is plowing in his field. And notice verse 19. So he departed. So Elijah departed thence, and he found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12th. He be with the 12th. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and mother, then I will follow thee." And he said unto him, "Go back again, for what have I done to thee?" So Elijah had 10 servants. I know driving through the Midwest, tractor after tractor, same field plowing or harvesting. And that was the case here. They had 11 of these plowers, and Elisha was carrying out, doing the 12th. And so Elijah came along and placed his mantle on him and said, "I want you to be a prophet." And he said, I need to go home. Thank you. Appreciate that. I'm in bad shape here this morning. I need to kiss my father and mother goodbye. Now when God said to Elijah, "Lay your mantle upon this man," I wonder if Elijah thought, "It's not my doing, because I certainly wouldn't preach pick a rich young farmer to be in the ministry." And so Elijah said, "Go back, I did not call you." I think Elijah was afraid to say, "Come on, my father-in-law, Audrey's father, was a missionary for 50 years with the Chinese people. He used to tell young preachers or missionaries, go slow, you'd better sit down and count the cost. Are you sure you mean business? Are you ready to go with nothing but mush to eat sometimes? When your wife doesn't have new clothes and must make over or wear used clothes given to her. When you've done your best and poured out your soul for those you spent your life to help, they mock you and doubt you." He said, "Are you ready for that?" He said, you need not try to be a preacher or missionary unless you're ready for that. And so Elisha said goodbye. Notice verse 21. He said, and he returned back from him, and he took the yoke of oxen and slew them, boiled their flesh with the influence of oxen, and gave them to the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elisha and ministered unto him. And so he burnt his bridges behind him. He provided a feast for his family and friends, and said, "Well, I'm going to not going to need these oxen anymore. I've quit plowing, and I'm going to go to preaching." But Elisha, you'll have to be a servant for a long time to Elijah. And when Elijah wants water to wash his hands, you will have to bring a pitcher of water and pour it on them. You'll have to do that for a long time. And so the Bible indicates he spent 10 years of serving Elijah before he was taken up in the fiery chariot. And then Elisha began his prophetic ministry. So Elisha killed the oxen, had a big dinner, invited all the people to eat all they wanted. "For God's going to make a prophet out of me." Friend, it's a blessed thing to say goodbye. You may say, "But I have this thing or that thing to look after. For now on, it's not mine, it's God's. All we have and all we are belongs to Him." And so we can't say, "Well, this is mine and so on, I have to do this." When God calls, we better get with it. I talked to a young man in Alabama. He said the Lord called him in the ministry. And I said, "Well, fine, but what are you doing about it?" "Well," he says, "I'm just working in the church here." I said, "Well, you better take some Bible correspondence courses or go to Bible school and get busy with what God has called you to do. And so he said, well, I think about it. And so I've left it at that. And being the nice fellow I am, I saw him about 6 months later and I said, well, what are you doing? Well, he said, I've been too busy. And I thought to myself, you don't know what busy is. He was just working a job, but he was too busy to do what God wanted to do. And when I went to Bible school, I had four children. Excuse me. And Valerie came along. When I was Bible school, and I worked 40 hours a week and at night. Went to Bible school in the daytime and tried to keep up with the family as well. And so I was really busy. But here he was just working a regular job. And he was too busy to do what God wanted him. Oh, listen, folks, if God calls us, we better get with it. And we'll answer to God one day and give account for what he's asked us to do. Anyway, Elisha said goodbye to his mother and father. Whosoever be of you that forsaketh not all he hath, he cannot be a disciple. If God's not second to God's, if business is not second to God's will, you'll never be any account for a soul winner or a preacher or a Sunday school teacher or a missionary. You're a sorry Christian unless first of all you put Christ first. In the first part of your day, first part of your time, first part of your love, the first part of your money. If this is not so of you, then you are not fit to be his disciple. Unless we can say goodbye to other things, we are a poor Christian. Matthew 6:33, the disciples were concerned about what they were going to wear and what they were going to eat. And Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will take their place. Being human like we are, we try everything else, and when that doesn't work, then we turn to God. But God said, put him first, and then he'll take care of all, and he will. We certainly have seen God's faithfulness then. And then in the book of Colossians, it tells us he must have the preeminent place in our lives. And then we have the Samaritan woman over in John chapter 4. John chapter 4. Quite an account of this woman who left her water pot. In John chapter 4. This is a tremendous story of a wicked woman who got saved and became a soul winner because she left her water pot. This woman had five husbands, and now she was living with a man who was not her husband. Jesus said to her, give me to drink, in verse 9. She was surprised that a Jew would ask the Samaritan for a drink of water. In verse 9, the woman of Samaria saith unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Samaritans were half-breeds, and so they didn't get along at all. And this was a concern to her. And notice in verse 10, then Jesus answered and said to her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith thee, give me to drink, thou wouldst have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith to her, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, or the water that she came to draw. That wouldn't last. You'll thirst again. But, he said, whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be of him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And the woman said unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. She was tired of drawing water. You give me this water, that's what I want. Now she was still thinking in the physical realm. Jesus was speaking in the spiritual. Jesus said to her, Go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, in that thou sayest truly. And then the woman said, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Jesus led her little by little to see that she was a sinner and in need of a Savior. And Jesus then told her in verse 26 that I that speak unto thee am he, or I am the Christ. Salvation came in, and look what happened in verse 28. The woman then left her water pot and went her way to the city and saith unto the men, Come see a man which hath told me all things ever I did. Is not this the Christ? And they went out of the city and came to him. And in the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. And he said, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. So you know that a woman like that could be a soul winner. And, you know, we so often people say, well, I can't witness to someone or be a soul winner. Well, this lady just told her what happened. See, come see the man that told me that everything that happened to me. And I guess that stirred the interest in the men that she was used to, and they came to Jesus and got saved. All these must have known of her past. But she left everything that day, no matter what her past had been. If you in your heart can say goodbye to it all and leave everything for Jesus, he can use you. He has a use for you, even people like you, if you'll leave everything for Jesus. If you put God first, you will often leave necessary things till God's work is done. If this woman had taken her water pots back to her home and done all her day's work, and then in the afternoon when she went downtown and so on, if she saw any of the men and tell them about Jesus, if she had done that, there would not have been a soul saved. But she immediately left her water pot and ran into town and said, Come, see a man that told me everything that I've done. And then we have the story of Jesus who left heaven's glory and come into the world to give life to us. He left it all. You know, it's difficult for us to imagine someone who would be willing to leave all the glories of heaven and come into this wicked old world and suffer all the abuse that he suffered, be nailed to the cross of Calvary because he loved us and wanted to give us life. You know, it means goodbye to loved ones too. Matthew 10 and verse 37 and 38. Matthew 10, 37 and 38. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. Now, I wouldn't mind leaving old boats and nets and water pots or some oxen, but when it comes to leaving loved ones, that's a different story. James and John left their father. Elisha goes in the house and kisses his mother and And says, "Mother, I have to go. I'm called to be a prophet." So he kisses mother and father and says goodbye. He killed the oxen so everyone knew he meant business for God. It costs something to follow God. You better say goodbye and add, "I'm going to follow Jesus." When we first left and went to the mission field, we had to say goodbye to our loved ones and did not see them for 2 years. Then turn back to Ruth, Book of Ruth, and we see another one who left things in order to serve God. Ruth left all and became immortal. Ruth was a beautiful soul. Her mother-in-law lived among the Moabites. There was a famine in the land of Canaan land, and she went down to the land of the Moabites. Her husband died, and her two sons. And she said, after being there for a period of time, she said, "I'm old and hungry to see my kinfolk. I'm going back home." Ruth said, "I'll go with you." "No," Naomi said, "I have no more sons for you, and besides, you'd be a stranger in my country. You stay with your mother and father." But Ruth said, "But I'm going." Look in verse 15 of chapter 1. And she said, "Behold, thy sister-in-law has gone back unto her people, unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law." And Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee, nor return from following thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. Whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. And thy people shall be my people, and my God, and your God, my God. Where thou diest, I will die. There will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me." And when she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. So they two went and came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass, when they were come to Bethlehem, that the city was moved about them. And they said, "Is not this Naomi?" So she left her family and home to be with the people of God. In a strange land, she met Boaz, a rich man, and married him, and had a son named Obed, the father of Jesse and the grandfather of King David. So she was put in the ancestral line of Jesus Christ because she said goodbye and went to the strange land and said, "Thy people shall be my people and thy God, my God." Now the people that get somewhere with God are those who leave some things. The children of Israel left Egypt and gained the promised land. Abraham left his home and came to the place of God's promise. So you, my friend, must say goodbye and leave the old life if you're going to be his disciple. And then there will be reaping time for faithful service. If you say goodbye, you will get it back someday with interest. Don't worry to leave all to follow Jesus. He left his home in glory for us and went to the cross. Now, if you're not willing to say goodbye to the old things, Jesus said, "You're not worthy to be my disciple." Sometimes we sing, "Where he leads me, I will follow." Do we really mean that? If we really mean that, then we will be willing to forgive, to give up some things to follow him. Can you say goodbye to the friend you wanted? Goodbye to the success that you hope to have? Can you say goodbye and mean it? When the Lord called me in the ministry, I had to be willing to give up my business for him. I had the promise of a new home and $1,000 a year raise if I stayed as foreman of the flower farm in Myrtleport, Oregon. Would you believe that that farm today is the largest flower farm in America? Look what I missed. No, I wouldn't trade it for anything. Did you say, did it cost to serve the Lord? Yes. The Bible tells we have to be willing to sacrifice. But it would cost me more if I didn't follow the Lord. Have you been trying to please men? You cannot please them and please Christ too. Oh, how the Lord wants us to trust Him as our Savior and serve Him. And if you're here today and not saved, you're headed for a crisis eternity to burn in hell forever. Now, that's not a pretty picture, but that's why Christ came. That's why He died, to pay for our sin and to give us life. And so if you're here today and lost, I'd encourage you to trust Him as your Savior, even today, and He'll give you life. And then you can have the promise of eternal life with Him forever and ever. And what a thing to look forward to. We just went to my brother-in-law memorial service yesterday, and he loved the Lord, and some of the family were very upset at that. But you know, the Bible tells us don't sorrow as others who have no hope. We have the hope, the joy of seeing it again one day, and it could be soon. We don't know when, but I know that if I were to die today, I would be with my Savior. When we first went to the mission field, we had to leave everything that was dear to us to cross the waters to preach to a people we did not know and to a culture and language that was foreign to us. We had to leave something behind to please Him who called us to His service. Did not know at the time that our dear ones would pass on to eternity. In my case, my mother died and my wife's father died. But you know, that's not much to give up to serve Him. Because He gave up everything for us. Listen to me today. Peter, Andrew, James, and John left their nets, their boats, to follow Jesus. Elisha left his oxen, his farm, and family to follow God. The Samaritan woman left her water pots to witness for her newfound faith in Christ. Ruth left her family and went to a strange land to serve God. History is full of people who have left something near and dear to them in order to serve and please their Master, the Lord Jesus Christ. What about you this afternoon? Has God spoken to your heart about being a soul winner, a preacher, or a dedicated Christian? Are you willing to leave some things behind? Say goodbye to the old ways and follow the Lord as He directs? Too many people are not serious about this business of serving the Lord. There's nothing more important than following the One who gave His life for you. So will you bow your heads right now and say, Lord, I'm willing to say goodbye to some things. Goodbye to whatever You might ask me in order that I might serve You, whether it be missionary or just an average Christian. We need to say goodbye to the old way of life and let the Lord in to direct us day by day. And maybe you're here and lost. Are you willing to say goodbye to the old ways and say, Lord, save me today, and that I might have life? Father, we thank You for Your willingness to give Your life for us, that we might have life. And Lord, we know in Your Word, You told us that we're willing to forsake all to follow You. May we be willing to do that today. And we'll thank You. Guide each heart this morning and the decisions they might even be making now, that they would do what You want them to do. And we'll thank you, for you pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.